to the Inquisitorial Representative, Senatorum Imperialis. Report on contemporary power formations within the Inquisition. As requested by you, our representative, to the High Lords, I have compiled this brief summary of the current politics and power formations within our great organization. More detailed information is available on request. As has been the case within our orders since effective records began, certain philosophies and interpretations of our divine task have held sway over the agents of our noble establishment. The popularity of different viewpoints and beliefs waxes and wanes with the passing of the decades, and so it is imperative that regular information regarding these political structures within the Inquisition is available, and the level with which they interfere with the actions of our agents and the achievements of our goals. None of us wish a repeat of the Denorian heresies or the Seastris schism, and we all endeavour to avoid a return to the methods seen during the anti-crusade of Apolloch and the Valenrin pogrom. As you know, the interpretation of the divine will of the Emperor is always fraught with diversion, and that our agents, whilst wholly dedicated to their task as they see it, are no less prone to personal definitions of the Emperor's purpose, our manifest duty, and the manner in which it can or should be executed. As is the way of mankind, similarly minded individuals will gather together on occasion, sharing a commonality of their beliefs. It is impossible to tell accurately how many of these informal organizations, which I shall hereafter refer to as factions, can be found within the orders of the Emperor's Holy Inquisition. But I have managed to isolate a few that currently hold much favour amongst our agents and can be said to hold some degree of political leverage within the organisation. As you will see, the disparity between the beliefs of some factions is at such an extent that they can be said to be fundamentally opposed to each other, as no one is above or below the ever-watchful eye of the Inquisition. It is not an unheard-of occurrence for inquisitors of different factions to investigate one another and declare each other excommunicate traitoris. Whilst we of the upper hierarchy must endeavour to remain impartial in this, to provide clear and consistent guidance and avoid becoming embroiled in these internecine affairs, on occasion it is necessary for us to intervene. Lasker's Purge is perhaps the most recent documented example of this. Such differences of opinion are so deeply held by some of our operatives that it not only leads to internal moral conflict, but physical conflict as well. The necessary secrecy with which the Inquisition works makes this all but impossible to predict or forestall, and we must stand ever ready to respond to minimise the effects and aftermath of these serious matters. However, we cannot in all faith dictate to or indoctrinate our agents in this respect, for it is this very individuality, strength of mind and belief, and sense of personal responsibility, which enables them to perform the dire tasks we ask of them. The Inquisition does not need unfeeling machines. It needs reasoning men who have courage to enforce their convictions. In the summary below, I have divided the factions concerned into two broad camps. There are those traditionally dubbed Puritans, and the factions that are referred to in previous reports as Radicals. Puritans uphold the letter of the law and the dictates of the Emperor to the letter, as enforced upon the populace and servants of the Emperor at large, where possible. It is they who uphold widespread beliefs that permeate the organizations of the Imperium, and can be said to adhere to the traditional values, as preached by the Ministerium and enshrined at the heart of imperial law. Radicals in their favoured position as Inquisitors, feel they are free to enforce the spirit and intent of the Emperor's judgment, and it can be truly said that they see the methods they employ to be secondary to the execution of their duties and the achievement of their goals. They would be considered heretics by the vast majority of Imperial citizens for their behaviour, but we, as more knowledgeable and wiser observers, can see there are powerful arguments to support their views and methodology. In either case, extremism of one type or another must always be closely witnessed, lest it turn to self-destructive obsession. Puritan factions. Thorians. The Thorians trace their origins to the Age of Apostasy and the overthrow of Lord Vandyr by Sebastian Thor. To some inquisitors, it was evident that Thor moved with a divine purpose and was instilled with some of the power and charisma of the Emperor himself. It is their belief that the Emperor walks amongst us, having been shorn from the physical realm by the wounds inflicted by Horus. He once again must choose vessels to do his work, as he did so before the Age of Strife. The flesh maintained in the Golden Throne is not the Emperor, for he travels abroad, tending to his divine will, instilling his power into those who have been chosen. But these are frail, mortal bodies which can possess only a fraction of the Emperor's power and are ultimately destined to die of injury or old age. But what if the Emperor could be granted a body that does not wither and die? That could be his vessel for all eternity to come. The Thorians believe that such a thing is possible, that the Emperor yet awaits for his new body to be found or created. In essence, a new Emperor will be created to lead mankind to its destiny and conquest of the galaxy. The Thorians seek ways that energy and consciousness interact with the warp and their transferal from one to the other. They delve into the secrets of possession and manifestation by demons and other warp entities, trying to decipher what rules govern the relationship between the warp and the material universe. It is their dream that one day they shall find a host suitable for the Emperor's magnificence, and through prayers and ritual be able to guide his spirit into his new body, allowing the Emperor to once again walk amongst his people. The Thorians can mostly be found amongst the ranks of the Order Malleus, where they can study the power of warp-based creatures in the material realm, gleaning understanding about the Emperor's abilities to manifest his divine will in our universe. A fair number can be found inside the Ordo Heresicus, where the course of their duties allows them to find out as much as possible concerning Sebastian Thor and other such gifted saints in the Ministerium's long history. There are quite a number of resurrectionist cults and factions within the Ecclesiarchy, and these create a very useful network and provide foot soldiers for Thorian inquisitors. Relatively few are found in the Order Xenos, though there are some who believe the answer to achieving the Thorians' aims can be found in the sophisticated psychic technology utilized by the Eldar and other ancient races. The Thorians' opponents claim that even if it were possible to resurrect the Emperor into a new mortal body, it would cause a schism across the Imperium, more dangerous than any heresy or civil war that has gone before. Believers in the resurrection and unbelievers would violently clash, and a large part of the Imperium would be destroyed in a massive war of faith. Even if this does not happen, nobody knows what changes the Emperor's power underwent upon his ascension, and whether he would lose them were he once more confined to a physical shell? Most importantly, how would the Astronomicon work were the Emperor able to move around freely once more? It is the risk to these very foundations of the Imperium that opponents to the Thorians find the most worrying, and many believe that they are risks not worth taking. The Thorians claim that to take mankind onto the next phase of evolution, the Emperor must be able to lead his people, both physically and spiritually. Mono-dominance. It was Inquisitor Galdo, in the 3rd century of the 33rd millennium, who penned the treatise Mono-dominance, the right of man to rule the galaxy in the Emperor's holy name. In this lengthy document, he compiled his many experiences and commentaries from nearly 400 years of service to the Imperium. His final conclusion amounted to declaring that the only way the Emperor's loyal servants would survive in the galaxy was if everything else was destroyed. At the time, this overly pessimistic view found few sympathizers and was attributed to a devout but aging Inquisitor suffering a breakdown and losing his faith in humanity's ability to prevail. However, several centuries later, Inquisitor Germanius of Pelusia revived the theme of monodominance and swore to enact Galdo's vision, and it has enjoyed various levels of popularity amongst Inquisitors ever since. The monodominants have a simple goal: to destroy forever the Emperor's enemies. Monodominants have absolutely no tolerance for any kind of wayward behaviour. There is no excuse for heresy, contemplating heresy, or for abetting heretics. Heresy includes mutation, religious deviation, aliens, psychers, and any other beings who do not conform to their view of loyal Imperial servants. There is only one punishment for heresy in the monodominant philosophy: death. Mankind is fighting a war for racial survival, and the monodominants hope that if they kill off enough aliens, psychers, mutants, and heretics, eventually natural selection will prevail and humanity will rise to its position of ultimate power. Monodominants are very militant and will resort to the final solution of exterminators more than any other Inquisitors. They are an open faction, using their presence to stir widespread xenophobia and hatred, leading mobs of frenzied citizenry to purge their own ranks of the filthy and unclean heretics who threaten their future. They are utterly ruthless and unforgiving, inflexible and intolerant. They are generally the youngest and most hot-headed of the Inquisition, charging across the Imperium, leaving devastation in their wake. Their confidence in their philosophy is almost unshakable, and they, more than any other faction, will wage war upon Inquisitors with a slightly less hardline view if their paths cross. In their minds, quite rightly, being a member of the Inquisition is no excuse for heresy. Monodominants can be found in all orders of the Inquisition, and quite often they belong to none of the orders, seeing all heresy as equally threatening. Inquisitors who believe in the monodominant philosophy are wont to associate with the most militant and violent cults and creeds within the Imperium, such as the Redemptionists, and can most readily draw upon the resources of the Ministerium to achieve their aims. Of course, many Inquisitors find the monodominants incredibly narrow-minded and rigid, and claim that often they do more harm than good with their excessive purges. Inquisitors who believe in the incorporation of alien technology and warp artifacts and other supposedly heretical notions consider the monodominants to be crippling themselves by their refusal to make use of such tools. Amalethians. The start of the 41st millennium was a time of spiritual and physical rebuilding for the Imperium. A great conclave was held at Gathalamor, at Mount Amalath.
where military, religious, and political leaders and dignitaries gathered in their thousands to swear once more their oaths of loyalty to the Emperor and mankind. It was this gathering that spurred Macarius to his conquest of nearly 1,000 worlds, and during this time there was a swell of optimism within the Inquisition that everything was once more proceeding as the Emperor had planned. In contrast to the widespread pessimism that pervaded before and after the Reign of Blood and the Plague of Unbelief. A large number of Inquisitors joined the Amalefian movement, believing that it was their sacred duty to let nothing threaten the strength which the Imperium was regaining. They strive to maintain the status quo, seeking out any person or agency that might destabilize the power of the Imperium from without and within. They are less concerned with the more traditional crimes of mutation, witchery, and religious heresy, except where these conflict with the institutions of the Empire of Man. They try to keep the rivalry and politicking between the various Imperial organizations to a minimum, holding to the Inquisition's original creed of strength through unity. Change is considered the most serious threat of all, for change can herald disaster. While other Inquisitors may endeavour to bring about some great upheaval or revelation that will see mankind break from its current turmoil into a new golden age, the Amalefians prefer to progress slowly, if progress is necessary at all. The Amalefians accuse Inquisitors of other philosophies of utter arrogance in claiming that they know the divine will of the Emperor. Amalefians trust the Emperor to work his way and his plan, as he has always done, and it is for the Inquisition to maintain the Imperium so that he may do as he sees fit. Mortals do not try to guess the Emperor's mind. At its heart, the Imperium is the Emperor embodied, and to protect the Imperium is to protect the Emperor. Amalefians work hard to root out factions and cults which would destabilize and threaten the power of Imperial organizations, Imperial commanders, military leaders, and so forth. They openly and actively support these parties and grant them tremendous leeway to protect their own positions, where it does not threaten the status or power of other organizations and individuals. They are very wary of any change at all, and closely adhere to the dominant beliefs of their time and society. The Amalefian faction can be found in all of the Inquisition orders, each striving to shield the Imperium from the worst ravages of aliens, cults, religious schisms, and mutation. They work well with agents from other Imperial agencies, as the interests of the Adeptus Mechanicus, Imperial Commanders, Ministerium, and other organizations are also the interests of the Inquisition. They work particularly well with the Adeptus Arbites and local security forces, whose duty is to enforce Imperial and local law, thus defending the power of the Imperium itself. Radicals. Zenthites. Zenthism is one of the eldest philosophies of the Inquisition, named after Inquisitor Master Zaranchek Zenthus, who was executed as a heretic in the early 32nd millennium. Zenthus was accused of chaos worship, and although he professed his innocence strongly, he was eventually burnt by a team of fellow Inquisitors. Throughout, Zenthus had maintained that he remained pure, though he admitted that he did on occasion utilize the forces of the warp and chaos to achieve his goals. It was his firm stance that such power could be harnessed without the spiritual corruption of the wielder that was to be later picked up upon by other Inquisitors. It is the ultimate goal of the Zenthites to harness the power of chaos for mankind. They believe that chaos cannot be defeated, for it is merely a reflection of humanity itself. However, those energies and powers created by its existence can be turned back for the benefit of humanity, rather than being an enemy. This does not mean that they advocate giving in to chaos, but rather to capture the essence of chaos and turn it to useful rather than destructive purposes. In the same way as the warp, and so chaos, allows warp travel, astro-telepathic, and psychers to work on mankind's behalf, so too can other facets of chaos be controlled, tamed to the Emperor's will by the Xenthites. Xenthites investigate all aspects of the warp and chaos, investing its power into themselves where possible, destroying it only when necessary. They will use chaos-tainted artifacts, demon weapons, books of chaos lore, and other heretical items, utilizing the powers and abilities of these weapons and tools to combat the incursions of chaos, heretics, and aliens. Within the Xenthites, there are those whose beliefs go even further, and are known as Horosians. The Horosians look to the Primarch Horus, who was a mighty being, invested with immense chaos power, and see an opportunity wasted. They believe that a new Horus could be created, invested with great energy from the warp, but one who would unite all of mankind for its betterment, rather than enslavement to chaos. Most other Inquisitors consider the Xenthites, and particularly the Horosians, to be walking along the edge of a precipice. Xenthites are commonly seen amongst the Inquisition as arrogant and dangerous, toying with powers they do not fully comprehend. Puritanical Inquisitors have a particular loathing for the Horosians, who they see as the most dire heretics, with their own belief that they can create a new emperor. However, as one of the oldest philosophies of the Inquisition, and included among their number some of the most learned and powerful Inquisitors, it is a brave or rash Inquisitor who will stand alone against the Xenthites, most often, as was the case with Xanthus himself. A cell of Inquisitors will form a common cause against a particular Xenthite, in an effort to expose his perceived heresies and to deal justice. Their dealings with the demons of the warp lead many Xenthites and Horosians to become members of the Ordo Melius, and they quite frequently build up associations with chaos cults. They have been known to create sects of their own, which are concerned with unravelling ancient mysteries and delving into arcane lore and knowledge. Recongregators. According to the recongregation philosophy, the Imperium has become corrupt and decaying. It no longer serves the purpose for which it exists, and works in spite of its massive organizations rather than because of them. Over time, the morass of politics, factions, bureaucracy, and the immense edifices of the Imperium must be pulled apart and reassembled in a new fashion which works better for mankind. If the Imperium is allowed to continue to stagnate, it will eventually fall apart, and humanity will fall prey to the unnumbered perils that it faces. We congregators attempt to destabilize the Imperial organizations from the inside, replacing the corrupt and/or conservative leaders and men of power with people who have more radical views and a will to change. Most are weary of too much upheaval, though, preferring not to destroy something utterly, but to subtly change it and shape it to their will. Too much direct action risks bringing about the premature downfall of the Imperium and the commensurate disaster that will bring. As might be expected, recongregators are mostly found within the Ordo Hereticus, where they can learn of individuals who may be useful to their plans. Recongregators often help anti-imperial sects and covens, often altering the cult's philosophies to match their own, if possible. They are not above extreme action when necessary, if this will promote the required response and change they desire. As can be imagined, recongregators have frequent run-ins with those who believe in the Amalithian philosophy, as the two beliefs are diametrically opposed. This can lead to conflict between inquisitors of the two concepts, with one working to destabilize or overthrow a particular person's or organization's power, and the other striving to maintain it. Istvanians. The greatest conflict to engulf humanity was the Great Heresy, which began with the Primarch Horus virus-bombing Istvan III. Although the Horus Heresy saw the destruction of entire worlds and devastation on an unprecedented and an unrepeated scale, there are some Inquisitors who see it as one of the moments during which the Imperium and mankind's future was forged. From the Horus Heresy came the great military changes that saw the breakup of the Space Marine Legions and the division of Navy and Guard, and the Emperor's ascension, and the creation of the Ministerium, and many other events which shaped the Imperium of the present. It is the goal of the Istvanians to strengthen humanity through adversity, believing that humanity is at its greatest and strongest in times of turmoil and conflict. From periods of greatest upheaval have come the greatest leaps forward in technology, faith, and galactic dominance. Did not Horus Heresy weed out those Marines disloyal to the Emperor? Did not the Age of Apostasy herald the coming of Sebastian Thor and the reformation of the Ecclesiarchy? Did not the great battles fought by Macarius's armies shine like a great torch in the dark times of the early 41st millennium? These are the arguments they put forward. The Istvanians claim that only when it is hardest tested does mankind show the true strength that lies within. To this end, the Istvanians endeavour to propagate strife and conflict for mankind's greatest future. Istvanians fan the fires of war and hatred so that mankind will stay vigilant, that its warriors will be skilled and ready, so none will believe that they have done all they can. They are a bombastic and obvious creed, flaunting their warmongering ways, instilling those nearby with fiery zeal to fight for themselves and the rest of mankind. They pit faction against faction, world against world, so that the survivors will be stronger for it. Istvanians will stir up trouble wherever they go, working on the phobias and prejudices of Imperial commanders, military officers, and the general populace to breed superstition, suspicion, and violence. They work well with destabilization and terrorist cults, and foster relationships with violent pro-imperial cults. Quite often, they will build up the power of these secret societies and sects only to reveal the threat that they pose to the authorities, urging the faithful to bring torch and sword to purge the corruption within. Istvanians are found in all Ordos of the Inquisition, each extolling the terrors and dangers posed by the forces they face. Other members of the Inquisition do not trust Istvanians, always questioning their motives and agendas. Opposing Inquisitors urge that, rather than strengthening mankind, the Istvanians' destructive activities weaken and destabilize the Imperium, threatening the bastion on which mankind's survival is based. All too often, an Inquisitor may be investigating a heretical cult or individual who is bent on opposing or destroying the Imperium, only to find they are sponsored or led by an Istvanian who has fostered such rebellion for their own ends. Many such encounters end in physical conflict, as Isvalians are nothing if not callous and bloodthirsty.
Primary conclusions. As you can imagine, tense situations and open conflict can occur when members of factions with opposing viewpoints meet, and the secretive nature in which our agents must operate makes all but sweeping judgments impossible. There have been occurrences in the past when outright war within the Inquisition itself has occurred, though these are thankfully rare and have always been hidden from the populace at large. As with all such philosophies, however, an idea can never truly be killed, hence the bitter extreme some Inquisitors will employ to eradicate what they, rightly or wrongly, perceive as heresy within our own ranks. In all, such dedication is to be encouraged, and diversity of thought and initiative has always been more valued in our organization than adherence to written creeds and rules. Careful manipulation of our agents and information regarding the factions is desired, and we should continue to observe rather than to dictate, as has always been our way in such matters. I remain, as ever, your most faithful servant and guardian.
Thanks for watching, everybody. If you wouldn't mind giving this video a like and subscribe if you're not subscribed, and remember to hit the bell to get notifications. I'll be back with more soon. Thanks for watching. Cheers.